Humans, for the most part, don't have a clue. They don't want one or need one either. They're happy. They think they have a good bead on things. 1,500 years ago, everybody knew the Earth was the center of the universe. 500 years ago, everybody knew the Earth was flat. And 15 minutes ago, you knew that people were alone on this planet.
Hey, is it worth it?
Oh, yeah, it's worth it. If you're strong enough.
Shut up and
breathe more popcorn.
Shut up and
breathe more popcorn.
Waka waka, guys. Welcome back to another episode of Shut Up and Refill My Popcorn. This episode, we're getting into the Men in Black franchise. And if you think I'm going to talk about the latest entry, you're dead wrong. I'm talking about Men in Black 2 from 2002. So, you know the deal. Sit back, relax, get you some snacks, get you something to drink, and come back after a word from the sponsor.
Are you tired of eating that stupid sandwich shop from down the street? Where they give you more bread than they give you meat? Well, bring your big ass down to Chub Sub Sandwiches. We got all the meat you can handle, baby. All you gotta say is, double my pleasure, double my fun. You gon' put double ham. We can even combo bologna and ham. Chicken, turkey. Oh, man, all the veggies you can handle, baby. Well, get your big ass down here to Chub. We ain't no pedophile ring. You know what I mean.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back. Like I said in the intro, gonna get into the Men in Black franchise. Now, as of 2023, there has been 4 movies come out. 3, the original trilogy with, you know, Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones. And then they came out with Men in Black International. I want to say that one came out pre-pandemic, but let's see. Yeah, that one came out in 2019, and the critics really didn't like it as much. See on Rotten Tomatoes that the audience score is pretty good. It's about 60-something percent. So if you think I was going to bash on that movie, take a sidestep. Go, you know, watch out, because Men in Black 2 is probably the one that hasn't really, you know, been up to par with the other. I'd say the other two, the first one and the second one, part 3. The first one, hands down, fucking amazing. The third one, it's actually better than what you would think. It's a pretty good, enjoyable film, and then, you know, that ending to that one. Right in the fields, but this one, I don't know, man. I don't know if it was what it was with this movie. Maybe the Johnny Knoxville. I mean, I liked his part in the movie. It was kind of out there, bringing K back and the way they did it. Yeah, I guess. Okay, so when I first saw this movie, that confused the fuck out of me. So when they deneuralize him. And then it didn't take, or it gets interrupted, and so they go to Jeeves's place or whatever, played by Tony Shalhoub, and they do it, but it doesn't take automatically, and it kind of got to give it a couple hours or something for K to get his memory back. So yeah, that was a little confusing for me at the time. Just watching it since then, obviously, you know, it makes a little bit better sense. This movie did come out in 2002. Who do we have as a cast? I know, of course, you got Tommy Lee Jones, Will Smith, Rip Torn playing Zeb, which ironically his character doesn't come back for the third film. His character is killed off, and at the time I was like, man. Because he did pass away, and I was like, damn, at least they gave him, but he didn't pass away pre-2012 or 2011, wherever they made the film. He passed away in, like, 2019 or 2020. So, yeah, that was kind of fucked up, but I guess he wasn't acting. I don't know. We get Rosario Dawson, a.k.a. Asuka. She plays Laura Vasquez. We also get Laura Flynn Boyle, who plays the villain, Serlina. So, not the Tejano superstar from, you know, my childhood. Like I said, Tony Shalhoub plays Jeeves. We get Frank the Pug, who's played by Tim Bailey. We get a couple of weird cameos from Nick Cannon and Biz Markie. Like I said, Johnny Knoxville's in this movie. David Cross makes another appearance. We got Patrick Warburton, who plays Agent T. You remember him. He's a dude that played the Tick. He's a guy from Seinfeld. This movie, I mean, it's not a stinker. Let's be real. It's not a stinker. But from the Rotten Tomatoes score and from my initial reaction watching it back in the day, I just like, it didn't meet the same level of awesomeness that the first one did. I can still watch the first one and enjoy it just as much now than I did when I first saw it back in like 98, 99. Men in Black 2 takes place 5 years after the first film. Obviously, if you remember the first film, Jay neuralizes Kay because Kay wasn't training a partner. He was training his replacement. Kay wakes up from his coma and goes back to working as a postman in, I want to say, Massachusetts. The film starts off with Jay and his partner T going against a big-ass worm in New York City. Jeff, I believe his name is, who is, I guess, just... okay, cool. You can just fucking just chill in the subways or whatever. Before that, I mean, I like the inclusion of that kind of like Twilight Zone type of stuff. That Twilight Zone from the, you know, they each tell this story and it's glorified and it's nice and pretty. And then later on, we see that Kay's memory of it is completely, totally off, total opposite. But it's the story of the two aliens. Serlina is after the light of Zartha, or some, I forget how to pronounce it, but we all think, and just like in the first film, it's one thing, but it's actually something else. We all think it's like this physical, this object of some sort, but in all reality, it's, spoiler alert, Rosie O'Dawson's character, Laura. Serlina, I'm going to say Serlina a bunch of times, just so y'all know, by accident, it's not on purpose, but Serlina comes down to, back to Earth after chasing after the light and just chasing her tail, comes back to Earth, realizes it's still on Earth, Kay and them didn't send it off planet, and she takes the form, she's like this weird, like, snake, worm, not really a worm, like a... snake plant of some sort, but she can change shapeshift, and so she takes the form of a Victoria's Secret model, who obviously is Laura Flynn Boyle. Her patsy or her goon, which is Johnny Knoxville, is like this two-headed, it's like nincompoop or just dope or whatever. They go to where Laura's working at because Laura's boss or I guess you would say parental figure in a way. I don't know. I didn't really give too much of a backstory other than the fact that she worked for I believe his name is Ben or Bill. Simple click, click. Yep, his name was Ben. He played by Jack. Oh, shit, I can't say his name. Keeler? She watches him being murdered by Serlina and reports this murder. Men in Black show up, do their investigation, and instead of neuralizing Laura, Jay takes her out to go eat some pie and kind of puts her on some sort of protective custody. So this leads to Zed telling Jay that, you know, hey, we're gonna have to get in touch with the previous agent, MIB agent, and who was that? Or Jay asks Zed that, and so Zed tells him, well, you neuralize him. It's K. You go find K working at a post office with a bunch of aliens. This is where we see Bismarck Key translating his beatboxing skills. And then K ends up going with, apparently we find out K's wife left him. He goes with Jay. Jay says basically, come with me and, you know, let's give me at least an hour. Give me some time and, you know, let me, and if anything, if that's not what you feel or if you're not feeling it, then okay, come back to your dopey life. Sarlina goes in, basically takes over MIB headquarters, starts releasing prisoners and sends them off to go look for Jay. So then this leads us to that whole neuralizer at Jibs at the Tony Shalhoub's place. No, is it Tony Shalhoub? Yeah, his name is Tony Shalhoub. Fucking funniest scene is when the first movie is when he shoots that dude's head off. In the second one, it's even funnier. I mean, who doesn't like a regrowing head? You know, it's not, you didn't kill him, you just shot him in the head and it grows back. This scene was fucking hilarious because these goon aliens go and try to get Jay. One of them is ugly as hell. And they have that back and forth with Jay. It's like, you look like crap. And then one alien starts laughing and then it's like, correction, he looks like crap. And then one dude has like the deep voice, like, freeze, no. And I don't know. Rewatching it back, it popped me because I remember watching it. That's one of the stuff that was funny about it the first time. So Jay gets K deneuralized and his memory starts to come back and little stuff he starts bringing up, you know, remembering and stuff. So they end up going to a locker at Grand Central Station or wherever it's called. And in one of those lockers, K has brought a small village of alien people and they live by the quote unquote tablet of a business card that's I think it's the video store. This is where David Cross works. We'll see him in a minute. And they start, there's three things, I guess. One's like be kind, rewind, and they start saying be kind, you know, something, you know, take care of other, like they're basically like it's a tablet, right? like the Ten Commandment type stuff. The second one was like two for one Tuesdays or something like that, and they say all the sacred of days. And then the last one is a large adult section in the back, and so they got a nasty ass fucking porn section in this town. And I don't know why K ends up taking it into MIB court later on in the movie for to, you know, boost Jay's spirits, but that's just yucky. So they end up at the video store. This scene was funny. David Cross cameoed in the first film. Cameos in this one. This one he has a little bit more dialogue than the first one. The first one he was just kind of like the morgue guy and gets killed by the roach. Here he's got like this dude that lives at home with his mother and this like conspiracy theory type of dude. Probably watches AEW with no pants on and, you know, rocking a Bullet Club tank top. I don't know. They rent this video. They watch the video. And it's the video we see at the beginning of the movie. And like I said, K starts having memory flashbacks and describes it not as a sunny day, more of a stormy nighttime. And tells Jay the story of what really happened. And we come to find out that the Light of Zartha is basically Laura. It wasn't an object. It was a baby. Princess. What the hell was her name? Anyway, Laura's mother left her on Earth to be raised and this and that. Jay had Laura under protection with the worm guys. Remember the worm guys? Hey! These dudes get messed up because I think Johnny Knoxville's character or those alien henchmen, whatever, go and get Laura and take her back to MIB headquarters. So now we get Jay and Kay and the worm guys going to Kay's old apartment to end up with some heavy, shiny, alien kick-ass artillery. They make it back to MIB headquarters. Jay has a run-in with one of the alien villains that he put away, who's like this like little rascals type dude in a trench coat. It's like just a bunch of little dudes in a freaking little mini spaceships. They're able to get Laura and escape and everything, but they're being chased by Serlina, who's in the spaceship that guy got. I forget what that guy's name is, but he makes a ship, and Serlina chases after him in that ship, and this super, just super high speed chase. The new Men in Black mobile, I don't know what to call it, but the new Men in Black mobile turns into a spaceship when you press the red button. If you remember the first movie, you kind of did the same thing, but it was a super speed vehicle, not a flying spaceship. This one comes with a video game controller, control panel, and a white person decoy just in case they get pulled over or whatever. So autopilot. The chase ends when they have Serlina chase them down into the subway, into Jeff's mouth. They think they're done, that she's dead or she's defeated. They fly up to an area where Laura's supposed to get in a little escape pod and basically go home and, you know, complete the prophecy or whatever. Then out of nowhere, boom, here comes Jeff, and then Serlina takes his form into this big old giant space snake worm guy. Anyways, after some debating of, like, you know, again convincing Laura that she's the light of Zartha, that she's the one, she's the reason she cries is because it's raining, and it's raining because she's sad or some bullshit, some stuff like that. But, you know, it makes sense because, like, in the whole beginning story, it was storming, and the mother was probably sad because she has to get, you know, rid of her, she has to give away her child and all this other mamma jamba juice. Jay's a little heartbroken. Jay, you know, was falling in love with her. And so, but Kay sticks around and ends up getting those locker people out of Central Station and put into Jay's locker, which begs the question, where the fuck's he gonna put his shit now? All his shit is either covered in alien jizz or thrown away. And just like in the first movie, they have that little, you know, like, the universe isn't as big as you think. It's, you know, could be small, and it zooms out, and next thing you know, we're living in a freaking Marvel universe on an alien planet. Same thing here. For some reason, our world is in the locker of an alien train station. All in all, this movie, I mean, yes, it was the first sequel out the gate, and it didn't hit the targets like the first movie did. The first movie, fucking amazing. The Men in Black itself is a adaptation of a comic book series. Right off the bat, I'm looking here at the basic premise and variations from the film. So in the comic book, they not only investigate or oversee, like, alien life or activity, they also oversee demons, mutants, zombies, werewolves, and vampires, etc., paranormal beings. In the movie, obviously, just polices extraterrestrial activity on Earth, so everything else is kind of pushed aside. The agency uses memory erase your memory instead of killing the witnesses. The agency's main goal is to maintain order on Earth rather than to direct it. Zed's physically appears rather than being an unseen character, so I'm guessing he was a voice behind a speaker. Eakes is absent in the film and is replaced by Dr. Laura Weaver, later Agent L. Agent J is an African-American man instead of a blonde-haired white man. The tone of the series was lightened, exchanging the comic's dark and bleak approach for comedy. So, yeah, if those sound like you're interested in seeing what the comic's about, I know I kind of am. I'll probably give it a whirl, see where I can find some basically storyline snippets or synopsis or whatever, plots. But, yeah, as for the movie, I mean, part two is you know, it's not a complete stinker. It has its moments. The CGI, especially on Johnny Knoxville's head. It is 2002, but, I mean, come on. Good things about the film. You get to see Laura Flynn Boyle in lingerie. You got Rosario Dawson looking young and pretty hot and tempting. We get Kay back. I remember growing up watching after the first film being like, oh no, they don't have the main guy no more. And it's, obviously they hadn't even made the sequel yet. And then boom, they make the sequel. And what happens? They bring him back. So yeah. The cartoon series that took place between the two films was fucking awesome. Other than that, I think they had like roller coaster rides and all kinds of stuff, Universal Studios type stuff, role-playing games, alien attack, video games, of course. The music, well, I don't know about part two. I don't know if part two had a blah. You know what? There was a song, and I'm looking them down here. It says, "The Black Suit's Coming, Nod Your Head." Holy shit, I forgot about that song. That was a crazy thing about the Men in Black franchise, or basically anything with Will Smith. So first one had Men in Black that he sang, you know, that song. Here come the men. Yeah, I'm not gonna do that. The second one had him singing another one. The Black Suit's Coming, Nod Your Head. But the third one had Pitbull singing a revised or different version of a classic song back in time. I don't know, but I remember it was Pitbull singing the song. But yeah, man, the music was awesome. I forgot about that. Black Suits Come In. Oh, the Black Suits Come In. Yeah, I'll sing that one before the Men in Black. Yeah, but I used to bump that motherfucking song all the time too. I was a kid, man, jamming it out and. Good old summer of 1999, man. I had my own CD player. It was summer of 99 was the shit. But that's gonna be it, guys. Please stay tuned for the outro.
Now let me ask you something. You like tacos? Well, goddamn, of course you do. Who the fuck don't like tacos? Howdy, y'all. My name's Lingo the Gringo. And over here, I got me a taco shack. You know why? Because I married me a little senorita south of El Paso. And she has got me on taco making craze. Breakfast specials, any two tacos of the same variety. I'm talking bacon and egg, chorizo and egg, potato and egg. Two of the same tacos, 99 cents. That's right, y'all, 99 cents. Comes with a drink? No, hell no, you gotta buy the drink. If you want a free drink or a drink with you gotta come back for lunch. Cause my specials for lunch are three crispy tacos with a drink. And guess what? A side of mini tacos, $5.99. You can't beat these prices, y'all. I'm going crazy making these goddamn tacos. Now, dinner is just, beauty. Beauty. You know why? Because I got carne asada with pico de gallo. Ooh-wee. But those motherfuckers, you actually got to buy the drink. And the drinks come in like, you know, medium, large, medium, and small. Which, who the fuck drinks small unless you got a kid with you? But, don't worry about it. Come on down to Lingo's, located on 335 South Main, over here in, you guess it, El Paso. And don't forget to tell them Lingo sent you. And if you sing the tune, I might take some percentage off of your order. Just say, Lingo, give me your gringo tacos. I'm probably going to change that shit. That sounds stupid. Anyway, come on down.
That is it, guys. That is the episode. I want to thank y'all so much for checking it out. And if you're new to the podcast, please do me a solid. Go check out some previous episodes. You don't have an idea of what was covered, or you're kind of picking and choosing. So I know there's 100 plus episodes, right? Check out the Popcorn Bites section on YouTube. I have it categorized on playlists as season 1, 2, and 3. And it gives you a 2-minute little snippet of each episode. And come back and download that episode. Take me with you to work, whatever, however you indulge in your podcast. Off the top of my head, this being the last entry in September, Halloween is just around the corner, and I'm playing with the idea of just keeping it 2 episodes in October. Haven't really given much thought to the crazy, you know, weekly releases on horror genre. I have a couple entries in mind. If I decide to do a little bit more, then, you know, I'll let y'all know, or I'll just surprise you with the first 2 releases. But right now, I think I'm just gonna stick with the two a month. Seems to be next 3 months, or October, November, December. The last episode will probably be number 25 in season 6, and then season 7 will premiere in January. So that's the idea. But please do me a solid, go check out everything that is Shut Up and Refill My Popcorn. Where can you find this stuff? In the description down below, you get a link to the website and my Linktree. Linktree seems to be the quick and easy way to go. So if you wanna, you know, check out my Instagram, my TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, aka X, it's all right there. And then check out the extra butter feed. Haven't really been doing too much, but I have a couple ideas. One is the review of Ahsoka, but that hasn't ended yet, so at this time, but that may be in the works. But other than that, I'm still rocking and rolling. Still love doing the podcast. Took that little hiatus to kind of rejuvenate myself, and had a pretty good conversation with CJ Emmanuel in the last episode. I had some good reception from that episode, so I appreciate everybody checking that one out and giving me a shot listening to my goofy ass talk about these bad sequels. I guess that's about it for me in this outro. So with that being said, again, I want to thank y'all for downloading and checking out the podcast. And remember, guys, if you ain't laughing, you ain't living. Take care of yourself and the people you love. Nanu, nanu. Peace.